Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about quantum mechanical bonds and the insight into how chemicals can vibrate, flex, and move around. Now, one of the things that I realize is that I show people two different types of molecules, and one they see is sort of, because you show them a rigid picture, you think it's an absolute rigid picture. And that's true for some, it remains rigid. Others flex around and rotate like anything. So this rotation and flexing and vibrating is something which is given to you when you understand quantum mechanics. You have a sort of a rule-based system to understand it without quantum mechanics, but when you do have quantum mechanics, it's something that just flows around, and it's, you walk in one day, you understand this, and then you perceive that. Yes, understand that, perceive that. Sort of like a person, a community, and if you walk in and you realize that they just have lost their business, you realize that their behavior is dictated by that. They're not going to be joking about money. They'll be very concerned about it. Sort of similar to that. So that additional information gives you an ability to interpret a situation. Additional bit of, a tiny little bit of quantum mechanics allows you to understand it. So, what is a chemical? So a chemical is a group of atoms in a particular structure and location. So if you put a group of atoms together in a particular orientation, structure, and if that structure is repeated with the same group of atoms, that is another molecule of that chemical, and if you keep on adding it up, you can have a whole bottle. But every molecule in that bottle of that chemical will be the exact same combination of atoms. And because you can't have half an atom, and it's a recipe, the actual recipe constituents on the path is given by the chemical formula. So it would be H2O, CO2, O3, then you can have carbohydrates, which are CN, H2O, N. Those H2Os, N times, that's a carbon or a hydrate. May it be missing a water, may be taken out of it. That's what a carbohydrate is. But it's that's exactly what a chemical is. And between every atom is stuck to each other via something called a chemical bond. And this is the fact that the electrons move between the atoms in a way that it's a low energy state when they're stuck together. It's sort of like a glue, so to speak. The electrons act as electrostatic glue. All to do with quantum mechanics. You will just stop for a while. Now, one of the things that I'm selling is, promoting, I suppose, is a set of fixed scales. So there's a one-to-one scale, which is us, and there's explode up by a billion times, make it a billion times bigger. If it's a billion times bigger, a oxygen atom is the size of one of the novelty basketballs, and then two oxygen atoms together form a molecule, and that's a dome-ish sort of dome overload shape. The actual center where it's most is 30 centimeters across, but really it's, you know, to be fair, it's probably 40 centimeters across. One of the things with quantum mechanics is that there are no surfaces. So although we can think of a model, we can't actually think of quantum mechanics. In fact, one of the difficulties is that the quantum mechanic wave functions are algebraic. They come from algebra. They don't come from natural counting. So they have complex numbers in it, and they don't have surfaces. But look, I can imagine it's this soft thing. So it's not like, I suppose, a cup or a hand or a fist, which actually exists at one point and not. So if you were to play one of those things where you have the knife hitting the table, it would either hit your hand or not hit your hand. In quantum mechanics, it always hits because it doesn't exist in a precise point. It actually goes gently into and out of existence, very so slowly. Very beautiful thing to observe. But oxygen's got two atoms, of oxygen. O2's got two atoms, and it's got it's sharing actually between the two atoms four electrons. That's a pretty large amount of atoms. So an electron in the old bunny, in the vintage world, vintage world of your parents and possibly your teachers, the electron's a tiny little dot and it buzzes around the place, and like four flies have to do this work in between, flying between the two nuclei, flying back and forth, and it's buzzing around mostly empty space. Well, that's vintage look. The modern look is quantum mechanics. Each electron's, because it's so small, it's also so big. That's another thing with quantum mechanics. Small things are big. And they actually sit through each other in a nice, gentle, stable shape. There's none of this fussing around. And they sit in such a way that they sit between the two nuclei. So you can actually have something called a half bond, which is just one electron, but two electrons. Spin up, spin down. Again, spin up, spin down comes from a mathematical universe, which we can't experience, but we can talk about. And so they form a structure between the two, and the bottom structure is the first bond is a symmetric bond. It's rotationally symmetric, and the second bond is like, it's not got a rotational symmetry. It's got a node between it, slicing it through, so it's like, I suppose, an octopus, a rubber strap, it's a rubber band. So one's a pin bond through, and the other one's a rubber band bond that goes goes off the axis back and off the axis back, back and forth. And it's like a rubber band. It expands. It's got a natural length, which is happier, which is the bond length. You can pull it more, stretch the rubber bands, or you can press it a bit more, and it fights against it. So an oxygen's got two bonds, and so what we do is we draw the two bonds in the old money as two lines, but in reality, so that's for a double bond, we draw two lines next to each other, and saying somehow that one bond's below the other, you would think. And what happens is if you tell people, they say, please tell us a bit of quantum mechanics. You tell them a bit of quantum mechanics, and they go, Mom, the teacher says, blah, blah, blah. And you say, why don't you ask me to explain? Well, in this case, I'm explaining that in an oxygen double bond, one bond is a pin bond, an axial bond. Axial, it's got an axis, and so it can rotate around. The other bond is a rubber band bond. It's above and below the plane or the molecule, going back and forth. And that can't twist, because if you twisted one atom, although it's really hard to do it, you twist one atom with respect to the other, you'd actually stretch the bond, sort of like that torsional thing. Say if you've got two cups together you say you're binding two cups, say glass cups, one cup of, you can do one bond in center with a piece of blue tack between the two, and you can actually rotate those relatively easily. If you then bind the cups with a rubber band between the outside, so there's half a bond above and half a bond below, you can't twist that. That's torsion. You can't twist it, because you actually stretch those bonds by actually twisting it. So this is the fundamental thing. If there's one bond, it can spin, because it is symmetric. Well, I've got to tell you a bit more about it. It can spin, it's symmetric. But if there's two bonds, or three bonds, for instance, it can't, because the bonds have nodal lines between. A nodal line refers to a point where there's no electrons, nothing moving. But because of this, double bonds can't spin. Therefore, when you're looking at a molecule and there's double bonds, you instantly say, oh, well, that's fixed, that can't spin, but everything else can spin and rotate. So take your simplest thing of, say, ethane. So ethane's got enough enough on it. It's been, we have to say water's a completely different case. They've got the water so completely wrong. It makes me just groan every time I open a book and look at the water molecule so poorly drawn. However, ethane's a different point. That's three hydrogens bound onto a carbon, a single bond to another carbon with three hydrogens on it. Now those two molecules can, the two ends of that methane can spin with respect to another. It's a bit like a spinning disc. I don't know, a spinner, I forgot what it is. It can spin, because it's a single bond. However, if we rip off hydrogen from each one and make acetylene, so it's ENE, just a double bond in the center, there will be an axial bond and an electron above and below the plane. That can no longer spin, so that's stuck. So the ability to have all these flexible joints is a bit like building a bionicle. You've got some joints which are stuck, pinned together, other joints which can are free to rotate and flurry out any way, which way they want. And so, in general, you can see something, and it snakes off on all these flexible. So as you look through it, the single bonds are flexible joints, and the double bonds or triple bonds are flat joints, and of course your rings are sort of rings of atoms, limited, especially if there's some electrons, some hydrogens are removed and extra bonds going in between the whole rock show. So with your benzene, it's a flat thing because there's a set of bonds above and below holding it nice in a flat thing. It's a higher energy, of course, because the single bonds would prefer to be at an angle. So it's sort of an interesting aspect to it. So I'm just going to finish this off with a piece of stunning quantum mechanics. Things spin, but they don't spin just freely. You just can't rev them up normally, just continuously. If that was the case, nothing would ever radiate. It would have no radiation whatsoever. Things have to spin on little clicks. It changes gear. It's got first gear, second gear, third gear. It can only go at those rates. Spin and vibration, and so these which we call energy levels, vibrational levels, so they can only spin in particular ways, and that's because the energy goes in and out with units of fundamental trade, units of angular momentum. I'll go into that. This H bar thing, this is the fundamental currency of interaction in our life. H determines the actual size of things through quantum mechanics, and also determines so much more. Now, so the vibration or rotation, it can only go at certain points. So much so, and this is probably worthwhile to go, that if you can imagine your spinning oxygen molecule that we introduced at the first thing, it's up there. We can still allow it to be a billion times bigger if that allows you, helps you. That oxygen molecule will have a bit of heat in it. In several ways it can actually rotate, it can oscillate back and forward. You can push one atom in and it will go wow, 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 wow. Or you can spin it. You can spin it on its axis, or you can spin it tumbling. Or you can't spin it on its axis. Can you spin it on its axis? I think you can actually spin it on its axis because it's got a non-symmetry. But if it was symmetrical, if it was only one bond there, you couldn't spin it. This is all to do with quantum mechanics. But if two bonds, you can spin it on its axis, through the axis or around the center, so it's spinning like dumbbells. It's spinning the way you naturally spin. If you had a beam on the table, you can actually flick the beam so it's spinning, or you can actually, spin on its axis, and actually, you can do it. This is when you have a top spinning. You have all precessions and all this type of stuff. However, that's all quantized. That is, it can only go at certain. It doesn't spin at it spins at just normally, say, at 1 time a second, 2 times a second, 3 times a second. It can't spin at 1.1 time a second. It's quantized in what it can do. So this is really, really fascinating. So what happens to the vibration, the rotation lines, as you freeze a gas? The gas begins to stop rotating. And eventually, if you got a very cold gas just above its liquefaction point, and it's very cold, you can actually eliminate all rotation lines, and the gas, it can be actually so physically cold that the gas doesn't spin at all in space. Each gas molecule translates just as if you have it on a flat sheet of paper and moving it up and across. And this is sort of welcome to the quantum world. And things getting, the actual wave function is getting bigger as it gets colder is another aspect. So the actual size of molecules increase. So electrons increase in size. That's a whole, that's the deal with electrons. They increase in size as they cool down and decrease in size as they go to higher energy. So an electron microscope requires high energy electrons to actually shrink them down so you can see what's going on. This is all to do with quantum mechanics, the uncertainty principle. That's all hanging in there, but more as the more relaxed view is being able to see that single bonds, you can spin them, double bonds, triple bonds, or any sort of pi bonding. So pi bonding refers to, is it basically definition? Sigma bond is S bond. P is next level P. It's interesting that the S and P terminologies come from spectroscopy, which is an older science than quantum mechanics. But you have S and P bonds. S is a spinning bond. P is a pi bond. It's got a node in it, and because it's got a node, a zero in it, you can't actually twist the geometry of one atom with respect to another, because it will actually stretch, contort those bonds. However, I'm sure that you can, just thinking about it, I suppose you can, you could get it, you could tweak it, you could try and spin a double bond and it would oscillate back and forth. I'm sure that's an allowed rotation. So going back to your acetylene, ENE, it's got two hydrogens of carbon, double bond, carbon and two hydrogens. I'm sure that you could actually, there would be one mode of vibration where you could actually tweak it, twang the hydrogens on one side with respect to the other, and it would oscillate, stretching the bond. I'm sure that's a vibration mode, internal vibration mode. There would be a vibration modes with the double bonds going through. But again, you can't observe this because the actual drawing of a double bond as two lines or a triple bond as three lines is a two-dimensional fiction of what is really a three-dimensional complex thing. So this is why I suppose you could observe it somewhere, but there's no reason that bonds don't physically stop the other bond in space. Like the first bond doesn't take up, because the electrons don't take up physically space as far as it's concerned as the other electrons are concerned. They've got a different quantum number. Bonds themselves are also not, the single bond doesn't actually force the second bond separately. I don't know if I can explain it, but look, to be fair to me, I'm the only person I know trying to explain this stuff, and maybe I'll come across someone else who does it, and they'll probably do a better job than me, and I'll just quietly listen to them and say, gee, you're much better than me. But at the moment, I'm just trying to get across the idea of double bonds being the bonding restricting the ability for molecules to rotate. And I think that's the general message, that looking for single bonds, double bonds, gives you a clue to how the molecule will behave. That's all very important when it comes down to the all-important little mini legs inside you. Inside your cell, there's these structured roads, three-dimensional roads being put inside you, the microtubules with the beta and alpha tubulin proteins put together, all nice and stuck together. Now, this obviously another thing you can do is that you can build a molecule which is flexible, but it's got bits of itself which it sticks to itself, and starts, so it can bend and not flex. But that being said, then there's these kinesins, which are little sets of legs which walk up and down your cell all the time. So you've got trillions of cells, and in those 2 trillion cells, you, at this point in that time, there are more little molecules walking inside you than there are, probably the same, not galaxies, there's about 2 trillion galaxies, I suppose, in the universe. There's a fair number of them doing their stuff, strutting their stuff inside you as you speak. And they're all grateful. They haven't learnt the vintage science. They're just doing their stuff. So inside you, you are absolutely a mass of molecules walking around you, using double bonds, using the something hindrance, using the fact that their flexibility is stopped. So can you imagine yourself? If every part of your leg was flexible, you'd just go in a fit. You need your flexibility to be at your knees and everything else to be unflexible. And that's the same true for all the thousands. So in each cell, there'd be, hundreds of these little critters walking around on the tubulins, and you've got trillion cells. So look, I'd say there'd be 1,000 trillion of these in you easily, walking around, and they're all based on quantum mechanics. Thank goodness they didn't go to school and didn't learn the idea of these the fly version of electrons moving about, because those electrons wouldn't be able to actually provide the axial support which holds you up. It's just as, there it goes. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.